2 Kings 15, and I forgot to mark where we left off Sunday, so we're going to pick up at verse 23. I know it's somewhere around there. 2 Kings 15, 23. Sounds about, yeah, I know it's around there close. And Brother Terry Miller is going to open with our prayer. Okay, Terry.
Father in heaven, we come to thee at this time to give thanks to you and our praise, knowing, Father, that you are our God, that you are looking out for us constantly, helping us with all the blessings that we need and that we receive. I thank you, Father, for our ability to be able to come together as a Christian family to study your word and pray, Father, that we do this study, we gain more knowledge and more understanding about you and what you want from us. Ask your Father to go with us, guide us and strengthen us throughout this service. Help us to understand everything that we are taught. This we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Excuse me. Verse 23. In the 50th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekahiah, the son of Menahem, became king over Israel in Samaria and reigned 2 years, which means that his reign ended at about the same time, or at least the same year as who? How long did Azariah reign as king? How many? 52 years. So, Pekahiah begins in the 50th year. So obviously in 2 years he's going to be gone, and in 2 years Azariah will be gone. And what is Azariah's other name that we know better for some reason?
Uzziah.
And I don't know why that is. Excuse me, when I first started working here 14 years ago, I had a Bible class that I taught called something like, do you know the other names of these well-known people or something like that? You remember that?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. And what prompted me to do that was, I remember years ago, you know, we're still living in Klamath Falls, probably back in the 80s, and we're going to the coast, and of course you have to come through Grants Pass to do that. And on the way, there's a place called Jedediah Smith State Park. And I thought, oh, that's so-and-so in the Bible. Do you know who it is? He's very, very well known. But this is his other name. Jedediah is this guy's other name.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Who?
I would say Solomon.
You're right. King Solomon, that's his other name, Jedediah. In fact, I think that's the name God gave him. But David says we'll call him Solomon. So I don't know how you deal with that one. And then I started realizing there's all kinds of names like that in the Bible of places and everything. But anyways, so Azariah, Uzziah is one of them. And again, why is Uzziah or Uzziah more famous than Azariah? I don't know. Just the way it happened. 24. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. By the way, do you know who Jedediah Smith was? And you don't want to say this too loud, okay? Because they're supposed to be, well, the way the First Amendment is currently being interpreted, if people find out who this guy was, they may decide to change the name of the Redwood Park. Who? What did you say? I still didn't hear you, Diana.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, and what did somebody say over here?
He might be an Indian.
He might be a what?
An Indian.
No. He was a Methodist preacher. A circuit-riding preacher in this area. I know I keep getting off topic here. But I thought about Corpus Christi, Texas. Why hasn't anybody attacked that yet? Do you know what Corpus Christi is? What is it? It's Latin for body of Christ. and Los Angeles. Yeah, we can just keep on going. Okay, all right, sorry about that. 24. All right, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. Then Pekah, the son of Remaliah, an officer of his, conspired against him and killed him in Samaria in the citadel of the king's house. Hence, that's why he only reigned 2 years. Along with Argob and Aria, and with him were 50 men of Gilead. He killed him and reigned in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Pekahiah and all that he did, indeed they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. So it seems to me like with the northern kingdom of Israel, every king just stays with idolatry. And whose idolatry in particular?
Jeroboam,
the son of Nebat. I mean, that's how he started the northern kingdom, and they just, that kind of like now became their character, their way of thinking.
What makes me wonder is, with so many of them being murdered or, you know, lasting only 1 year, 2 years, 6 months, whatever, that anybody would even want to be king.
Yeah, but
really?
But the desire for power is pretty strong. And even if it's not the desire for power, the idea that I can do it better than you can moves people to do that, you know.
Go for it.
Somebody started to say something over here?
I said it's corrupting. Absolute power corrupts.
Yeah, right. So the pattern in Israel just doesn't seem to change, does it? The only time that there would be exceptions is when maybe like Ahab, for example, he repented briefly when, I think it was Elijah, prophesied some kind of doom. And then he repented, and God said he wouldn't do whatever that punishment was. But then Ahab goes right back to it. So when you come down to it, not one of the kings of the northern kingdom, not one of them continued in righteousness. If they ever did it, it was just for a brief time. Phil?
They all went along with Jeroboam, but once in a while they throw God in there, which seemed like it was necessary until when he needed him, and then he went right back to the king.
Okay, I like the way you said that. Every once in a while, if it was necessary, they'd throw God in there, you know, kind of sweeten it up a little bit, and maybe he'll go away and he won't bother us anymore, then we can go back to doing what we really want to do, and that is worship a false god. You what?
He's secondary.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Okay, so the same story is in verses 27 and 28. In the 52nd year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekah the son of Remaliah became king over Israel and Samaria and reigned 20 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. It just keeps getting said over and over and over again. Because they don't repent. And you must be thinking, what is God doing this whole time? I mean, he's being exceedingly patient and graceful and merciful to Israel. But it's going to start to end right here. Verse 29. In the days of Pekah, king of Israel, Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came and took Ijon, Abel-Beth-Mecha, Genoa, Kadesh, Hazor, Gilead, and Galilee, all the land of Naphtali, and he carried them captive to Assyria. So the captivity of Israel had begun. And he told them that this would happen, all right? Israel goes into Assyrian captivity around 721-722 BC. And Israel received the law at about 1445 BC. In 931, again BC, is when the kingdom divided. All right? Okay, I'm not doing this right. All right, so Israel comes out of Egypt, and a short time later, you know, around the 1440s BC, God gives them their law. And they finally get a kingdom, and after three kings, as you know, the kingdom divides. And God lets the northern kingdom go for about 200 years. And finally, he just concludes, this is irredeemable. So he sends them into captivity. He let Israel, or Judah, the southern kingdom, go, you know, another 100 years, roughly. And then he has to do the same thing with them, too. Only into a different land. So Israel goes into Assyria. And then, as you know, Judah goes into Babylon. But here's the thing. In Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, in both places he said, here's what you're going to suffer if you don't keep my law. Now, if you keep it, here's how you're going to be blessed. Both times he said that. He started off with the blessing verse. If you do what I say, and even when you sin, if you repent and come back to me, here's how I will bless you. But he actually spends more time, I've never looked to see what the percentage or ratio is, but he actually spends more time in both cases talking about, here's what I'm going to do if you refuse to listen to what I say. And while it sounds severe, every time he's still being exceedingly patient with his people. Like in Leviticus 26, for example, he will tell them, okay, now if you do this, then I'll punish you seven times for your sins. And then later, if you do it again, I'll punish you seven times more for what you've done. And you can look at their history, and that's exactly what happens. Until finally, in both cases, the ultimate form of punishment from God is him sending a foreign power, either in this case Assyria or Babylon, against his people who just level the place and take them out. And we'll see why he does that a little bit later, especially if we get into the next chapter tonight. But, you know, it's not as though they cannot say, well, we didn't know about all this. And the writer will say he sent prophets to them. And in 2 Chronicles 36, he says, he kept sending prophets to them until there was no remedy. The situation just couldn't be remedied anymore. So, it's really sad that this happened, but anyways, it did. Larry?
Sacrifices, and I mean, as far as like in the temple, you know, what the priest's duties were?
Well, your answer is going to pertain mostly to Judah, because from the beginning, Israel didn't worship at the temple anymore, so their priests up there are already doing the wrong thing, just from the very beginning.
That just kind of went away?
Yeah, and when we, well, I guess Sunday morning we'll get into chapter 17. You'll see what happens after Assyria removes Israel from the land, and you don't want to leave the land empty or unattended, so he brings in other people. And a certain situation happens to where he says, okay, we need to get one of Israel's priests back there. In other words, he would be actually a faithful priest, a faithful Levite, who would go back and teach the law and everything. But I want to jump ahead of myself too much. But down here in Judah, yes, for the most part, they continued to do what was right because the king... Yeah. But they had some problems too. And we may have time tonight where we'll see that one of the kings comes back. And the best way I could put it is he decides the temple needs to be remodeled. And the priest goes right along with it. So sometimes the priest was corrupt too. And when you think about it, who are the ones who instigated the crucifixion of Christ? It was the chief priest. So there's times when they're really faithful, and other times when they're just as bad as the rest. Kind of interesting, huh? Okay. All right, so 30 and 31. Then Hoshea, the son of Elah, led a conspiracy against Pekah, the son of Remaliah, and struck and killed him. It's just like assassinations are happening all the time now. So he reigned in his place in the 20th year of Jotham, the son of Uzziah. That's right. So here, even in Kings, it switches over from Azariah to Uzziah. Now, the rest of the acts of Pekah and all that he did, indeed, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of Israel. So the unstable political situation in Israel continues. And of course, it's sad that the kings in Israel are doing this when already the Assyrians are having domination over them. And I know I've talked about this before. Maybe sometime I just need to do a sermon on what the Bible says concerning Assyria and what we know about them from history. The Assyrians were some of the most bloodthirsty, brutal, and torturous nations that have ever lived, that ever existed on the earth. It just seems, I think they just got a thrill out of making people suffer as much as possible. And so they last a long time, and evidently God wanted them to. Why he did, I'm not sure. But it's been a long time since I've studied it, but if I remember right, Assyria remained as an empire for about 2,400 years. And then when God finally says, that's it with you, that's the book of Nahum, he so decimates them that they disappear from history, from archaeological history, and we think they don't even exist or never existed. Unbelieving man. Until in the 19th century, guess what? They start digging up where the Assyrians were, and their destruction that we discovered through archaeology happened just the way God said it would happen in the Bible. Isn't that something? Isn't that a surprise? So they were out of existence for about 2,400 years. They lasted for about 2,400 years. They were gone from history for about 2,400 years. And then we discover them. Okay, that's getting off track again, but just the Assyrians, the ones that God chose to go after Israel, is wow, they were really something. Whereas Babylon, yeah, they were a power, but they were very short-lived. Their time as an empire was very short-lived in comparison to Assyria. Okay, 32 through 36. In the second year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. However, the high places were not removed. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. He built the upper gate of the house of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? Now if you remember from class this past Lord's Day, and I have this I think on your notes, on the very top of your notes on page 1 there, that this idea that yes, there were some kings in Judah who did what was right in the sight of the Lord. There's a few times there was this exception, except they didn't take care of the high places. And from what I showed you last week, like based on Deuteronomy 12, I think that is referring to the fact that the Jews are worshiping God on those high places. Not idols, not at this point. It's going to happen. But if you remember, I told you, by letting those places remain, they actually were potentially planting the seed for idolatry later. So I think these high places were already built up. They had altars and everything. And they just thought, well, why don't we worship God there too? We can worship him in Jerusalem and we'll do it here too. And that's why these kings didn't do anything about it. Because it seemed like that the people were doing a good thing. But it's going to prove to be a problem. Okay, 37 and 38. In those days, the Lord began to send Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, against Judah. Okay? So in other words, it's not as though, okay, Israel goes into captivity, and it's roughly 100 years before all of a sudden Judah's bad and God starts dealing with them. No, he's starting to deal with them all along, and it's going to intensify until the Babylonians come. 38, so Jotham rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David his father. Then Ahaz, his son, reigned in his place. Now for some reason, Ahab of Israel, we remember as being one of the really bad kings. He really got idolatry going in Israel. But for some reason, Ahaz doesn't have that same fame. And yet, he's the guy who really, in my opinion, introduced idolatry into Judah. When he became king, that's when the empire finally, or kingdom, really started going downhill. Even though it had been there before, like with Solomon, but still, it goes out of control with this guy here. In fact, the next lesson here, I just call it that Ahaz floods Judah with idols. So chapter 16... I'm not sure how many copies are there. I think there's more than you need there. But if there is, then you can give it to Donna. She likes to pin these up on her refrigerator. You know, that happened one time. I showed Carrie a cartoon, and I think it was in one of our Brotherhood papers, where the preacher was so ecstatic because his sermon finally made it to his wife's refrigerator, like with the children's homework, you know? And I showed that to her, so guess what? The notes that she took the next Sunday, they appeared on the refrigerator. You don't want that for your refrigerator? I'll supply the magnets.
I have my magnets anymore.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, I'm glad you all tolerate me. You're all very kind. Okay, so, chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord his God, as his father David had done. Notice here with Judah, the comparison's with David and not in Jeroboam. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. What are you doing, Ahaz? Indeed, he made his son pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Now it sounds like we're reading Israel's history, or about one of Israel's kings instead of Judah's. Well, my understanding that this refers to the worship of Molech, who was one of the gods of the Canaanites. Okay? Molech. And he was different. You know, other gods were made out of stone or concrete that they had formed, or wood, but this guy was made out of iron. And he was hollow, like a wood stove, which is what he was. They burned a fire on the inside of him, and he had his arms like this. And they would heat him up, and then they would place their children on the arms of this god. And I would assume that it killed them unless they took them off before that happened. But otherwise, they'd have a baby with severe burns from which he would probably die anyways. Can you imagine something like that? It's hard to believe that they actually did that. What was it about David that the kings of Judah are either saying that they were like him or they were not like him? Well, why is he the standard? What is it about David? What was it about David? Okay, and of course there's a couple of exceptions like that, just like you would say for anybody. But
he never was,
and that's the main subject that we're dealing with in the Kings and the Chronicles as well, is idolatry. And it was never even an option for David, was it? I don't see anywhere where he was ever tempted to even think about it, but then rejected it. It just, the option wasn't there. Okay, so we already talked about what Ahaz did with his son. And according to this reading here, verse 3 in particular, who was this imitating?
Kings of Israel.
And keep reading further. Yeah.
Where Israel came in.
So there were seven nations in the land of Canaan before Joshua led Israel in there and, you know, fought wars against them to conquer the land. And why did God do that? Did God just not like the Canaanites? You know, if I don't like you people anymore, I've got some family here, I'm going to move them in. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Pardon?
It was all because of sin.
Sin from which they just wouldn't repent. And again, it was a situation just like with Judah. It was beyond remedy. And one of the things they did is they burned their children in the fires of Moloch. So, let me think about that for a moment. If the Canaanites made their children pass through the fires of Moloch, now Judah makes their children pass through the fires of Moloch, what is God going to do with Judah? With the Canaanites, He takes them out. He uses Israel to just get rid of them. So what does God, if He's a consistent God, what does He have to do with Judah?
Kick them out too.
Yeah. He has to do the same thing.
So when the Israelites, going through and destroying the Canaanites, did they not destroy all of the idols?
That's a good question. Look at Psalm 106, I think it is. And you can see this in Joshua. It'll kind of indicate like when Israel got into the land, they fought and they won battles and everything, but then they stopped.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and they just left maybe a certain people in some hills or in a certain fortified town. Or they just didn't. God said, I want them gone, all of them. And for the most part, they did that. But it wasn't 100%. That's what he wanted, okay? So look at Psalm 106 now, 34 through 36. They did not destroy the peoples concerning whom the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Now that was not talking about the Canaanites. That was talking about Israel. And of course, first Israel does that. That's why back in our text of 2 Kings 16:3, it says that Ahaz is now starting to do what the kings of Israel were doing, but what they were doing was what the Canaanites had done. So they left some of the Canaanites in the land, and they were kind of looking at them, you know, and maybe they liked their temples. Maybe they liked the way their gods looked. They did business with them. They started mingling with them, and pretty soon they're doing the same ungodly things. And this isn't the only thing. I mean, there's more that are mentioned, but it's hard to imagine, isn't it?
Not even close to what Judah was doing. In fact, he's worse than Israel.
Ahaz, you mean? Yeah, it seems like it, yeah. Yeah. Look at Ezekiel. Is it Ezekiel 16? Ezekiel 16. I think it's Ezekiel 16 that I want to take you to. Yeah, this is it. Okay, Ezekiel 16 is God speaking to Jerusalem as though Jerusalem was his wife. And he talks about Israel here. I mean, excuse me. Yeah, Israel up there in Samaria. You see verse 46? Your elder sister is Samaria, who dwells with her daughters to the north of you. And your younger sister, who dwells to the south of you, is Sodom and her daughters. Well, right away we can start to see what God's saying. You're just like Samaria in all her sins, and you're just like the Sodomites. You did not walk in their ways, nor act according to their abominations, but as if that were too little, you became more corrupt than they in all your ways. Now, who just said they became worse? Was that you, Phil, Joseph? Was that you who said that Judah became worse? Yeah. As I live, says the Lord God, neither your sister Sodom nor your daughters have done as you and your daughters have done. Judah, you actually got worse. Look, yeah. Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. Okay, says what the problem was there. 50, and they were haughty. Let's see. Okay, 51. Samaria did not commit half of your sins. Jerusalem, you doubled what Samaria did. Do you see how he's saying that? But you have multiplied your abominations more than they, and have justified your sisters by all the abominations which you've done. Do you see what God just said at the end of that verse? You have justified Sodom and Samaria. You were so evil, you made it look as though Samaria and Sodom were doing the right thing. Wow. Okay.
Been punishment to people who did not want to follow what the king wanted them to follow, to get the people to change from trying to follow God to the idols. I mean, you've got a whole nation, you've got two nations that basically you've got to have some way of forcing people to start with to change from one type of religion to another, or I would think you would. So would the sacrifices that they did on the sons and daughters be part of that forcing of them to, you know, start looking that, you know, you're going to worship these idols because I say you're going to? Or was it just a gradual thing because of what we've seen going through the different levels of kings?
I suppose there could be the possibility of it being forced, but the impression that I get is that it starts with the king. And then it just trickles down to the people, and I think the people did it willingly, because of how God responds to them. You know, when you look at all the prophets and all the things they say to Israel and Judah, he always speaks as though this is a decision that you've made to do. So I would lean in that direction, that it was voluntary. Although they persecuted anyone who spoke against them. That's what the book of Amos is. You know, when you read Amos preaching to Israel, oh my goodness, you got to go home and read Amos. First of all, he talks to the other nations. Then he gets to Israel and then Judah, and watch what he says to them. And they let him have it. They persecuted him for what he said. And Jeremiah, you know, he's known as the weeping prophet because of the sins of Judah. Anyways. Okay. Okay, so what I'm going back to now is verse 4, back in 2 Kings 16. Notice that this king now is, and it's in a context of idolatry and of total abandonment of Jehovah God. So now, in those high places, on those hills and under the green trees, they're burning incense to foreign gods. So that's why I think all along in the story we've been seeing, okay, this king did everything what was right except he didn't take away the high places and so forth. without realizing it, that king, whoever it was allowing a situation to exist that later would bring them down.
For Ahaz and didn't know it.
Say that again?
That's the high places for Ahaz, but didn't know it.
Right, yeah. Yeah, they right, yeah, exactly. They left him for him, like to do. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay, 5-9. Then Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to make war, and they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. So look what's going on. Israel is suffering at the hands of Assyria, but then they join forces with Syria to fight against Judah or Jerusalem when they really need each other and repent together. Verse 6. At that time, Rezin, king of Syria, captured Elath for Syria and drove the men of Judah from Elath. Then the Edomites went to Elath and dwell there to this day. So Ahaz sent messengers to, now get this, Tiglath-Pileser, king of Israel. Assyria. Okay, so I think he knows, Ahaz down here in Judah knows that the enemy of Israel is Assyria. Right now, he's got Israel and Syria on his back, but Israel has Assyria on its back. So if he can get this ultra-powerful nation to join with him, then he can put down Israel and Syria. Did you follow that? Okay. Say it again.
The Assyrians, they're descendants from who?
Descendants from who? I don't remember right now, but I'm sure that Genesis 10 would probably tell us. Nineveh's their capital, and where did... Somebody went to Nineveh. Was that Cain? Did Cain go to... He what?
Cain went to
Nineveh. Yeah. I'm sure it's in there, Chris. In fact, that would be homework for you if you'd like, and you can tell us Sunday. All right, so where did I leave off? I keep interrupting myself here. Verse 7 again. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Israel, saying, I am your servant and your son. Come up and save me from the hand of the king of Syria and from the hand of the king of Israel, who rise up against me. And Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord, that's supposed to be used for worshiping God, but because he doesn't regard that anymore, it's no big deal for him to take it. And in the treasuries of the king's house, first set up by David and then Solomon, and sent it as a present to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria heeded him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus, that's the capital of Syria, and took it, carried its people captive to Kir, and killed Rezin. Or Rezin. There's a lot going on there, but did you follow it all? And here's what's interesting, okay? Assyria, you know, right now, Assyria is going to be buddies with Judah. But, you know, bullies, they figure things out. If I can get money from this guy, then maybe I can push him around too. And he does it. And not too far removed from what we're looking at right here. And he will come and conquer all of Judah except for one city. And that's Jerusalem. And that's where Hezekiah comes in. And what he says, some of the greatest prayers to God. And God lets little tiny Jerusalem, without even the rest of Judah, just little tiny Judah, turn back the Assyrians and have a great victory over them. Okay, not, that was kind of like a preview. So I don't want to get too far on that. But it's kind of just sad to see what's going on here with Israel and Samaria and you know, Syria is still mixed up today, isn't it? It's still all messed up with all these different alliances and everything. Okay, so, oh yeah, also, when we talk about nations going into captivity, you and I probably, you know, we always think of Israel into Assyria and Judah into Babylon. But are those the only two nations that's ever happened to? No, you just read that it happened to someone right here. Who was it? Assyria took somebody into captivity.
Syria.
The Syrians. Now look at Ezekiel 29:14. Ezekiel 29:14. Okay, ready for that? Ezekiel 29:14. Speaking about one of the greatest empires that's ever been on the face of the earth. Here it is. I will bring back the captives of Egypt and cause them to return to the land of Pathros, to the land of their origin, and there they shall be a lowly kingdom. Now, isn't that interesting? They once got the captives. They took people from other lands. They have the Israelites. And now they themselves become captives. But God lets them return. Oh, a biblical history or in how God deals with the nations of the world, I think is just absolutely fascinating. All right, 10 through 14, back in 2 Kings 16. Now King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and saw an altar that was at Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Urijah, the priest, the design of the altar and its pattern according to all its workmanship. Then Urijah, the priest, built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. So Urijah, the priest, made it before King Ahaz came back from Damascus. He just was almost like he's just really excited about this. He wants to have it all built and ready for when the king comes back. And maybe, you know, maybe he'll give me a big tip for that or something. And when the king came back from Damascus, the king saw the altar. And the king approached the altar and made offerings on it. So he burned his burnt offering and his grain offering, and he poured his drink offering and sprinkled the blood of his peace offerings on the altar. He also brought the bronze altar, which was before the Lord, from the front of the temple. Let's read that again. 14. He also brought the bronze altar, which was before the Lord, from the front of the temple, from between the new altar and the house of the Lord, and put it on the north side of the new altar. So he's introduced a new altar into the temple grounds, and he's also starting to rearrange some things, and he's not done. This has been like this for several hundred years. Come on, this is old tradition here. We can change this stuff around, can't we? And so that's what he starts to do. And I wonder what it was about that altar that impressed Ahaz. Of course, it doesn't say anything to us about it, but any artwork that you see of the altar in Jerusalem, it's a pretty plain altar. And because that's the way it's described in the Bible. God says, here's how I want it done in its dimensions, and has these horns on it, and so forth and so on, and that's it. So it must be that this thing was really beautiful, maybe had carvings on it, who knows what. And he really liked it, and thought, we need to have something like that in Jerusalem. Although it didn't help the Syrians. Isn't that funny? I know we got to stop here, but isn't that funny how that works? I come in, I conquer your nation, but I sure like your gods. I think I'm going to take those gods that haven't helped that nation and bring them back home, and we'll worship them. Can someone please explain that? All right. Thank you, folks. Yes.
The one thing I've noticed, everything concerning Jesus is humbling. You know, it's not bragging, show-offing, nothing. He's just a very humble man.
Yeah, you're right. He's not like these kings here at all.
He's not showing off.
Right. And I think it's because he doesn't have to. He knows he's the king of the universe. I mean, how many billionaires do you know go around saying, I'm rich? They don't have to, because they know they're rich. Same idea, I think. Okay.